Good morning.
Morning.
I'm in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15, and this is God's word. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel.
Thank you, Jim. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word. And as Jim reminded us, this is indeed your holy word, inspired by your spirit, given to us and breathed into existence by you. So Lord, I pray that through your word this morning, again, we would see you. We would behold your glory. We would hear you as you speak to our hearts and prepare us. May we humbly receive your word and may it be planted in our heart today, that from it may take root and grow and produce the harvest that you intend for us as we continue to become more and more like you. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a story on CNN about a Christian school basketball team that beat another team, I think it was a Christian school, by the score of 100-0. It was a slaughter. That's even bigger than how the Eagles beat the Chiefs last week. The coach of the winning team, even though it was clear that the other team was no match, kept a full court press going, Mr. Bill. He didn't let up. He kept pushing in his players to keep scoring and keep humiliating the other team. The coach was unapologetic about it, and at the end, he was fired by the school. The school administration, realizing how unchristlike the game had become, opted to forfeit the win. But the coach didn't seem to see anything wrong with what he had done. There was somebody, a coach of a Christian school who claimed to be a Christian, didn't see anything wrong with publicly humiliating the other team. There's a story of a fourth grade boy who was celebrating his birthday and he had crutches. And he was going to school and he couldn't carry cupcakes into school to treat his class without the help of his sixth grader brother. So his mother said to his older son, "Noah, help your brother carry your cupcakes in. Would you please do that?" And he said, "I could, but I won't." He said, "I prefer not to." Spotting a teaching moment, she said to him, "Well, Noah, what would Jesus do?" And Noah answered, "Jesus would heal him so he could carry in his own cupcakes." And both of those examples were examples of what it means not to be like Christ. Christ calls us to be like himself. Let me give you another example. In a letter that was smuggled out secretly of a country that was full of Christian persecution, and Brother George always reminds us to pray for the persecuted church, there was a letter that said this, that circulated around. It said, quote, we don't pray to be better Christians, but that we may be the only kind of Christians that God wants us to be. Christ-like Christians, that is, Christians who bear willingly the cross of Christ for his glory. See two different attitudes there of what it means to be like Christ. Today, as we come back to the book of Acts, we pick up the story of Stephen. We were introduced to Stephen 2 weeks ago whenever the apostles got together and there was that division in the church because the church was growing and the Grecian Jews felt that their widows were being neglected in the care for by the other Jews, by the Palestinian Jews, and so they had an argument. And remember, the disciples, let's choose men who are full of the Holy Spirit who will take care of that. And so they turned that ministry over to them. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. And the first that was chosen was Stephen. And Stephen's name was mentioned first. And now the story continues as Stephen in his ministry, he is out preaching, he is serving in the church. And he begins, because of his faithfulness, a lot of people notice the difference in him. And Stephen soon becomes arrested by the Sanhedrin and is brought before them to stand trial. We're going to find out next week that he becomes the first martyr for the sake of Christ. But from Stephen's example, he was just a layman, as we've seen him chosen, a lay member of the church, but a man that was like Jesus. And it was truly from him we can learn what it means to be truly Christ-like. We discover three truths about Stephen's life that we can apply to all of us and what it means to be like Jesus. First thing we learn from Stephen is that he exhibited a Christ-like character. When the Bible talks about Stephen, and Jim read it for us, Luke, in recording how this man lived his life, exemplifies several characteristics of a Christ-like life, of a character that reflected Jesus in who he was. We see it beginning in verse 3, where he was chosen whenever the apostle said, "Brothers, choose among you men who are known to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom." And verse 5 says, "This proposal pleased the group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit," and then also the others. But notice it didn't mention that about the others, but Stephen particularly, Luke mentioned, that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. The character that Stephen exhibited was the character of Jesus, and it was evidenced and known by all. People could see that there was a man like Jesus. It was Stephen, because he demonstrated it in the character that lived out his life. How did he exhibit that? In several ways. First, he was full of the Holy Spirit. It said, choose someone who was full of the Holy Spirit, and Stephen was chosen for that reason. It says he was full of the Spirit in verse 5. To be full, that word full means to be complete, to be to the place of running over. And the first thing that Stephen was full of was the Holy Spirit, and to have the Holy Spirit in him means that he was emptied of himself. We're told by Paul we're to be not to be drunk with wine, but instead to be filled with the Spirit. That means to be controlled by. That the Holy Spirit has such control of our life that there's no room for anything else. That we're emptied of ourself and let the Holy Spirit have control and to be filled with Him. And that was what we notified, that was one of the marks of Stephen's life, a man full of the Holy Spirit. And when people saw him, they said, man, the Holy Spirit's in charge in his life. He's just evident in his life. And wouldn't you want that of you to be known that way? When people see you, say, man, the Holy Spirit is just evident in you, Nick. I can just see it. You're just fan full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And the fullness to have him empty of ourself, that he is in control. Two things can't take up the same space. And the Holy Spirit is in our life. But if we want to take charge on the thing of the throne, then that fullness of the Spirit's not there. It's whenever he is in control and takes the shot. He was full of the Holy Spirit. His character was also seen that he was full of wisdom. It says, choose men who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom in verse 3. Now here's a good question for you. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? We often use those words interchangeably. Wisdom and knowledge to be the same thing, but in the Bible they're different. Knowledge has to come to do with instruction. And information we gain. And when we read the word, and we come to Sunday school, we come to church, and we hear a sermon, or we read the scripture on our own, and we listen to good Christian teaching on the radio, we're getting knowledge. We're getting more information about the Lord, about the scripture, about who he is, and that's important. We need, the scripture tells us, to grow in the knowledge of the word. And we need to know that, and we need to know the truth. But wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that we learn to our personal life. And you can get all the knowledge you want, and you can know what the Bible has to say, but if you don't know how to apply that to your life personally, then it's not beneficial to us. It's like what James is saying, it's faith without the works, and it becomes useless. So the wisdom is to be able to apply that knowledge to your life. Stephen was that kind of man. He not only knew what God said, but he was able to apply it and live it out in his life daily. And he was full of wisdom, that he was able to give wise instruction and counsel to those that he ministered to those he directed. So is your life full of the Holy Spirit? Is your life full of wisdom? Those are marks of Christ-like character that Stephen demonstrated that we are to emulate in our life as well. But third, he was also full of faith. Notice it says in verse 5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. A faith in not only knowing what the truth was, but living it out and believing it. And he didn't doubt, he was committed to it and committed to that faith. And full of faith to believe God for the big things. I confess to you at times, my faith can be small. And I may not have faith to believe God sometimes for those big things. But he always seems to come through. Have you ever learned in your life and you look back and he comes through always? But having that faith to believe in him, fullness of faith. And verse 8, he was full of grace. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. When people looked at Stephen's life, they saw a man who was full of grace. What does that mean? It means to be gracious with those who are hard to love. Remember, Stephen was chosen to help with to settle that dispute among the church when there was that argument amongst them that the widows were not being cared for properly. But they chose Stephen because he was a man full of grace and he was able to minister to people with grace. And that he showed grace and love to those who maybe were hard to love. And is your life known by and the character of Jesus seen in you that you're a person full of grace? That when someone is unkind to you or says an unkind word to you, you respond with grace instead of insult? When someone in a family member hurts you, instead of hurting back, you respond with grace? That's what God's called us to. That's the kind of person Stephen was, to be full of grace. And that's the Christ-like character, and that's what it means to be truly Christ-like. I'd say that coach on the Christian school on the basketball team was not a man full of grace, would you believe? In running the team like that, but being full of grace, that was Stephen. That's our Lord Jesus. That's who Christ called us to be. The character was so exhibited. And the last one was he was full of power. It says Stephen was full of grace and full of power, so much power of God work in him that he did great and miraculous things and signs among the people. He wasn't one of the apostles. This is where it was written. It wasn't one of the apostles here doing these great and miraculous signs. He was a layman of the church. But God's power was upon him in such a way that he was able to do the same kind of things the apostles were doing. And that's true, because in God's family, we're all the same. He's no respecter of persons. And when God's power is working through us, it said Jesus said, when we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That word for power is the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite, explosive. And he said that's the kind of power that was at work within him, the ability to do amazing things for God, because God's power was through him. And he's no different than us. Jesus said, you will receive power, but Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. The power that brought Jesus up out of the grave is the same power that's at work in you and me. So Stephen exhibited Christ-like character, and that he was full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, faith, grace, and power. How are you? How does your character reflect that? How does my character reflect that? But second, he truly displayed a Christ-like courage. That's the second thing we see. What it means to be truly Christ-like is he displayed a Christ-like courage. Because of the character of Stephen, because he was so much like Jesus, and remember what Jesus told his disciples. Jesus told his disciples, if the world hates me, it's going to what? Love you? Is that what he said? If the world hates me, it's going to hate you. So it didn't take long, because of the Christ-like character exhibited in Stephen's life, for the world to notice that. And the world to begin to see Jesus in Stephen. And they hated him. And he gathered, whenever he was teaching in the synagogue, he brought the truth of the word of God so strongly that it says the men of the freedmen trying to dispute him. And they were arguing back and forth for him. And it says some of them were from this province of Cilicia. As I did some studying on this, I found out that in Cilicia, there was a man there from that area, a province named Saul. Saul was also going to be present, we're going to find out, at his stoning. So Saul was one of the men that was being disputed, but was trying to dispute against Stephen, and he couldn't settle his argument. They couldn't refute the truth of the word of God that Stephen was bringing because of the character. And so they brought up false charges. And they said, he's blaspheming against God, and they took him before the synagogue, and they took him before the Sanhedrin, and made false charges just as they did against Jesus. But he reflected a Christ, displayed a Christ-like courage, and he stood strong on the truth of the word. Even against when his faith was challenged, he continued to stand strong on the truth. And that's what it means to be Christ-like, friends, in our day. Not only in our character, but the standing strong and having courage to stand alone on the truth. And Stephen did that. Remember, he was just an ordinary layman. He wasn't one of the apostles. He wasn't even present when Jesus was teaching, probably. But yet he had heard the teaching of the apostles and stood strong on that truth and stood firm in it. He also stood strong in the face of opposition. And when he was opposed, it said that opposition arose in verse 9. And opposition arose, but he stood strong in the face of that. He didn't buckle down under the opposition. He didn't quiet. He continued to hold strong to the truth and proclaim and let Jesus be known and exalted him. And even in the midst of opposition. And when opposition comes, sometimes we want to back down. We want to be quiet. We want to back off. But to be like Jesus, we need to stand strong even in those times, because we know we don't stand alone. We stand with Christ, because we stand at one on our side, Jesus, who's never lost a case and who is greater than anything. And he stands with us. And with God and us on our side, nothing can stand against us, so the scripture says. And he stood strong in the midst of suffering. That they took him before the Sanhedrin. It says they produced false witnesses, verse 13, who testified and said, this fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. And so they brought him before, and we're going to see that he is going to be killed for the faith. But in the midst of that, he stands strong. even in the midst of his suffering, he reflected Jesus and reflected Christ-like courage. And Stephen stands as an example for us. To be Christ-like is to exhibit that Christ-like character and to display that Christ-like courage. But third, to be truly Christ-like is that he reflected a Christ-like countenance. Notice how verse 15, as Luke was recording this event, and this is people witnessed this in Stephen's life. As he stood before the Sanhedrin, those who looked intently at him, they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The countenance of the Lord, his countenance shone brightly through Stephen. That as he stood there in the midst of that, people looked at him and they thought they were the solid brilliance of an angel. The countenance of the Lord was so reflected beautifully out of his life. His face radiated God's glory. What do people see when they see your face? What kind of countenance do you reveal about your love for Christ? When people see your face, do they see the face of someone who has spent time with Jesus? Stephen has been so much with Jesus or in his presence and his love for him that people could tell. Remember Moses when he went to the mountain and went into the presence of the Lord. It said when he came down, his face radiated with the glory of God and he had to put a veil over top because people could see the radiance of God. I pray that when people come into his glory, you see the radiance of Christ shining. The people see, what the countenance do they see on your face? Sometimes I've known some Christians that the countenance they display is like, boy, I'm a Christian. When do you want to be one too? They look like they were baptized in dill pickle juice and had wild persimmons for breakfast. And they say, boy, I'm a Christian. Don't you want to be like me? And say, boy, if that's what it means. If we love Christ, our face, our countenance should show it and reflect his glory, right? We should be seen in us. Stephen, when they looked at him, these were people who opposed Christ. They were remember the same people that had crucified, condemned Jesus to death, the same council. But when they looked at Stephen, they said, wow, his face looks like the face of an angel. The countenance of God was so evident in his life. Let me introduce you to a man who was called Mr. Glory Face. Have you ever heard of Mr. Glory Face? He lived in 1857 and he died in 1930. His name was Archibald Orr Ewing. But he got to be known as Mr. Glory Face. And I just came across this story this week in the Kentucky Mountain Bible College magazine that they send out a newsletter. This story about him was in there, and I want to share about it. But he quite literally radiated Christ. Mr. Archibald Orr Ewing was a Scotsman who was destined to become a millionaire in his family's business. But instead, he chose a path of sacrifice and service. He was inspired by the preaching of D.L. Moody, and so he left his family's wealth and privilege to heed the call to China as a missionary, joining in the ranks of missionaries like Guinness, Borden, and Studd, who forsook all the riches for the sake of the gospel. Archie's passion was sharing Christ. It was insatiable. People could see it. And the China Inland Mission, who was led by Hudson Taylor at that time, appointed him to oversee all mission stations in the province of Kinsey. The vast region, which was roughly the size of England and Scotland combined, required extensive travel to reach the scattered churches. So Orr Ewing, Archibald, was an excellent hiker. So he frequently would go from place to place by hiking. He would trek 30 miles in 10 to 12 hours. using these long walks not only to share the good news, but also in extended times of prayer. His journal reflected hardships of his journeys with entries like, quote, 5 days of wet feet, bad food, and insects terrible, unquote. On December 1909, he recorded 3 consecutive days of walking 12 hours, 12 hours, and 9 hours with only a 10-minute rest. On another occasion, he walked an astounding 60 miles in one single day to share the gospel. But it wasn't his feet that made him remarkable as that was. It was his face. Archie believed that spending time meditating on the Lord's glory would cause some of that splendor to catch. And it did. His face reportedly became so radiant that the Chinese nicknamed him Mr. Glory Face. This merely wasn't because they struggled to pronounce his name, but because his countenance truly shone. One observer noted that Archibald's luminous face was so bright that if he had done nothing but gaze at his audience, they would have been blessed. His radiant joy and holy glow testified to a life that he gave entirely to God's service. So here is a challenging question for each of us. Does the Holy One shine through us? Would anyone see enough of his reflection in our faces to call us his glory face? Does our countenance reflect his joy and light? Do we radiate his presence, vanquishing darkness with his smile and love? Stephen, when they looked at his face, they saw it as it was the face of the angel because it radiated the glory of Christ. That's what it means to be Christ-like. Psalm chapter 34, verse 5 says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18, it talks about Moses. It says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Lord from the Holy Spirit. And it's talking there about Moses' face reflected it temporarily, but we see the glory of the Lord through the Holy Spirit as being reflected in us. So his face radiated God's glory, and also he reflected a Christ-like countenance, and that his actions demonstrated God's grace. And that the countenance of the Lord was seen, and that God's grace was demonstrated through him. Turn with me to chapter 7, verses 59 to 60. And we're going to look at this more in depth next week. We're just jumping ahead a little bit. But Stephen then was brought before the council. He gave his defense. At the end of his defense, the mob rushed to stone him. And as they were stoning him, verse 59, it says, write thou, just pick this up a little bit, verse 58, meanwhile, the witnesses laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named who? Saul. So Saul was there, a part of this. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees, cried out, and said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And with that, he had fallen asleep. So he showed grace, even in the midst of those who were stoning him. He said, Lord, don't hold this sin against him. And taking the Christ-like attitude of Jesus from the cross, the first words that Jesus said from the cross was, what? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But he showed and displayed grace to even to those who were stoning him to death. And it was particularly mentioned a young man named Saul. And the Christ-like attitude and character that Stephen displayed even in his death, even in the grace that he showed to his persecutors, made an impact on Saul. It was one of the things that was going to lead him to faith in Christ. Eventually, he'll meet Jesus. But it made an impact. It began to make a difference there. That even Saul was going to come to faith. I want to share one last story with you. That Ronald Reagan demonstrated this kind of attitude of grace to those who harmed us. Ronald Reagan's attitude after his 1982 attempt on his life made an impression on his daughter, Patty Davis. And the following day, Patty Davis said, "My father said that he knew his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley. By showing me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including physical health and healing, he gave me an example of Christ-like thinking." And that's what it is. We have to forgive those who we don't want to forgive. Even those who are throwing stones at us. Now, we may not have literal stones thrown at us physically, but boy, we get those stones thrown at us by words, don't we? We get those verbal stones thrown at us, and they hurt. And that saying that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me," that's not true. Those words hurt. Those stones hurt. But yet, we got to show grace to those people throwing stones, because that's what Jesus calls us to be, like him. And he reflected the countenance of Christ, even as he displayed God's grace, and as his life and his face radiated God's glory. So as we bring this to an end and make it personal, the question is, we aren't called to be like other Christians. We can compare ourselves to somebody else and say, "Oh, compared to Nick, I'm not bad. I'm pretty good compared to Nick." Or compared to Mr. Bill or Autumn, yeah. But we don't compare ourselves to others. And we like to compare ourselves to other people because it makes us feel pretty good about ourselves. But we don't compare us to other people. We compare to Jesus. He's our standard. And we're called to be like Christ, not like anybody else. So the question is, are you Christ-like this morning? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Because are you Christ-like in your character? Thumbs up, thumbs down, full of spirit, full of wisdom, full of grace, full of faith, full of power? Are you Christ-like in your courage? Thumbs up, thumbs down, holding fast to the word regardless. Standing strong in times of opposition. Standing strong in times of suffering. And are you Christ-like in your countenance? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Is your glory, is God's glory reflected through your care, through your face? Can people see it? Are you demonstrating God's grace to those who are throwing stones at you? Christ calls us to hear, to be like Jesus. That's our calling. That's our desire. And may we hear the word of the Lord and respond as he calls us to. Maybe this morning, as we look at Stephen's example and ultimately at Jesus, and a Christian means one who is like Christ, we realize there is areas of our life where we still fall way short. The good news is that God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace is greater than our sins. And in those areas where we fall short, we just ask him, and he does those work in our life to make us more like himself. Remember, the great apostle Paul said, "Not that I've even obtained all this." But he said, "It's my goal. I press on to become more like Jesus each day. And not that I've attained it." But he said, "I forget what's in the past and I continue to press forward." And that's our calling. So being like Jesus, oh, to be like Jesus. We sang that earlier. That's our prayer. May that be our desire as we grow in our faith with him. Let us pray. In the quiet before the Lord, just take this moment just to talk to him. Does your character, your courage, your countenance reflect Jesus? Is an area of your life that you need to yield to him? Just take this moment. Is the Holy Spirit in full control of you? Or do you have areas where you still are in control? Do some business with the Lord right now and do whatever it is that he is leading you to do. Our Father, we thank you for your word. It's truth and practical in our life. We thank you for the example of Stephen. A man, Lord, who displayed Christ-like character. It was evident to all who saw him. Had Christ-like courage and a Christ-like countenance. Lord, I pray that when people look at us, they would not see us, but that they would see you. And that prayer that may the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And Lord, as we leave here this week and go into the world, I pray that people, when they see our face, when they see our countenance, that it would be a beautiful reflection of you. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in work, whether it's even with total strangers who don't know us, they would look at our face and say, there's something about that person. And that something is you. So Lord, help us to be truly like you in our character, in our courage, in our countenance. We thank you for the example of Stephen. It so beautifully demonstrated that. And Lord, in those areas where you still are refining us, and you're still at work, we thank you that your grace is sufficient, and that you continue to do your work in us as we yield to you each day. So Lord, may we be full of your Spirit, full of your grace, full of wisdom, full of faith and power, that we may be the men and women of God you call us and want us to be. Lord, may we truly be like you. That is our prayer. Oh, to be like you. Stamp your own image deep on our heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.